Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 today. This is the second week of boot camp. Believer's boot camp. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to read verses 4 through 10, and then we will pray, okay? But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. He loved us with a great love, folks.
Hallelujah.
Wow. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Amen.
And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we boast too, don't we? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for these new members, Lord, and we want to thank you for our time here this morning. I ask you to break the word of life to us, and Lord, let us receive nourishment from it. Speak into our spirits, Lord. Lord, if there's something we haven't understood in our training as Christians, Lord, let it be clear today. Speak clarity, and Lord, we just thank you for these chapters that Paul wrote to mature believing Christians. Lord, use me as your vessel. Pour out today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So today we'll focus on Ephesians chapter 2, which is part 2 of Believer's Boot Camp. To review just a little bit of the book of Ephesians, it's divided into two sections. Chapter 1 through 3 cover who we are in Christ. Chapter 4 through 6 cover the application of being in Christ as applied to our everyday life. Chapters 1 through 3 also record God's plan of redemption and the strengthening of the church. God the Father is the originator of the plan. Jesus Christ is the executor of this plan. And the Holy Spirit is the revealer of this plan.
Amen.
The main character of chapter 1 is God the Father, followed by Jesus Christ as the main character of chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit, the main character of chapter 3. Today we're studying Ephesians chapter 2. Amen. In this chapter, we recognize the Lord Jesus Christ as the victor over Satan. He defeated our enemy hands down. However, Jesus has given us the responsibility of enforcing the victory he has won in the heavenlies down here in earth's trenches. Victory is ours if we constrain the enemy. Victory is ours if we constrain the enemy. The crossing of the Red Sea was to Israel as the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to us. They both reveal God's deliverance of his people. We look to these two events as our point of reference for God's power in our lives. Both of these miracles represent deliverance from death.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Death.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. looking at the New King James Version today, amen? And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. And you is the little phrase I want to look at. We were once dead in our trespasses and sins, but Paul declares here in Ephesians, and you, through Jesus, are made alive. We will experience resurrection power.
Hallelujah.
Now consider this. When we are born, we all have the same sin nature. From that very moment, we possess a natural desire to have our world serve and benefit us. Everyone instinctively has self-centered, me-first identities. And this is the very essence of the sin nature. But what is God's plan? In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he tells us his plan. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. Are we instructed to follow God's plan, or do we just follow our own personal plan? So what causes us then? We say we're going to follow God's plan, but something causes us to abandon God's plan so many times. Maybe we think God's plan is just too long or too hard. Perhaps our plan just seems more suited to us. Amen? Folks, that's simply human pride. Human pride. God's purpose for our lives is that we have a God-first identity, which is in contradiction to our prideful nature. Yes. Brothers and sisters, if you want God to bless your life, put him first. And put him first in every area, and he will prosper you in that area. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 again. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. The phrase, were dead. Death in the scriptures is separation. We were dead in the most significant way, dead spiritually. We were separated from God. Just as your body separated from your spirit cannot function on earth, your spirit, separated from God's spirit, cannot function in God's kingdom. Let me say that again to you. Just as your body, separated from your spirit, cannot function on earth, your spirit, separated from God's spirit, cannot function in God's kingdom. Physical death silences the body, but spiritual death silences the spirit. We were walking around, but we were dead.
Yes.
We were walking around, but we were dead. Death is the greatest enemy you and I will ever confront. Ephesians 2:2. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. All right, because we were dead spiritually, we tried everything possible to make ourselves feel alive. That's basically where sin comes from. Unfortunately, people attempt to fill the void, that God-sized hole that's in us until we say yes to Jesus. Amen? And they try to fill their lives with whatever means possible. But that nagging within is God continually reminding you that you're still empty. You're still empty. Now, in that verse, there's the word accordion. That's the same root word as the musical term chord. And in this verse, Paul is pointing out that there's a harmony with the world and serving our own pleasure, purpose, and power. We're in harmony with those things. The air in that verse, the phrase the air, simply refers to the atmosphere where human beings live. And disobedience, the word disobedience, The works of the enemy cause man to be non-compliant. In the Old Testament, they called it stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. Verse 3. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. The phrase children of wrath. Every one of us were warring and seething against all that was holy by serving the god of self, fulfilling every carnal desire and inclination. Listen, folks, the way we were before salvation was ugly.
Amen.
It was ugly.
Amen.
All of us were fulfilling the desires of the flesh. Amen? Amen? Satan was supernaturally powerful and much smarter than we were, so he just sucked us in. He sucked us in. And the world system surrounded us from birth. And we were imprisoned in our carnal sin nature. Yet somehow we managed to escape.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
How? Verse 4.
Yes. Glory, hallelujah.
But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. The phrase, but God, who is rich in mercy. We could only escape through God's mercy. There is no other solution to man's need but God.
Amen.
But God, amen? God does not have a nature like most men picture. He's not distant. He's not disinterested. He's not unconcerned, he's not vengeful, and he's not fearful. God is full of mercy.
Amen.
He has feelings of pity, compassion,
you,
affection, kindness, and of course, love.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank
you. Hallelujah. Verse 5, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Now I want to look at that in the King James Version. Okay? Let's read it in King James. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. We were born dead, spiritually dead in our sin, but God quickened us. Quickened us. The word quickened here means to be made alive.
Thank you, Lord.
Made alive.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a good thing to wake up in the morning with. Lord, make me alive. Quicken me today. Hallelujah. The older I get, the more I need to use that, honey. Hallelujah. Quicken me, Lord. Make me alive. When people become Christians, one of the hardest things to do is to help them refrain from continuing to operate according to the world's system.
Amen.
It took one night to get Israel out of Egypt. It took 40 years to get Egypt out of them.
Yeah.
There is always a battle between the new man and the old man. And that is why we need teaching like Paul is giving us in Ephesians. By the way, you can protest all you want, but you can't legislate morality in America. You can't get unregenerated people to live like saints. In fact, we have a hard enough time getting saints to act like saints. Amen. Amen. Sin is a heart issue. And sadly, we can't fix people from the outside in, just from the inside out.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
Not from the outside in, just from the inside out.
Right.
Listen, you're not dead anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
So don't act like. Verse 5 in the King James Version again. Even when we were dead in sins, God hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. The term by grace. Grace is not just God's ability to forgive and overlook our sin. It is also the ability he gives to us to live above sin. Above sin. Grace is the power to change. Grace is the power to change. Let's go on to verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, the first phrase, raised us up together. Here Paul is saying that all believers, the church, are raised up together because we have been made partakers in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Right.
Made us sit together. And makes his body, the church, set together with him in heavenly places. One day we will be sitting around the wedding table as the bride of Christ. Amen. His beautiful bride. His beautiful bride. God wants a relationship with the church, his family. The children of God make up the church. It's essential. It's God's plan that you and I develop an us mentality, or the church will forever be divided and forever less than what God intends. We need to be united. Verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. The phrase, he might show. God likes to show us off, to reveal himself in us.
Amen?
Amen. It's his nature he wants us to see and wants people to see. His nature in us. He wants you to show your faith. The Bible also teaches us to take up your bed and walk. Amen? Show the world that you are now able to carry what once carried you.
Thank you, Lord.
Talk about a testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
He loves for you to testify.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, there's several phrases here. By grace, through faith, gift of God, not of works. God's grace made a way for salvation by having faith in Jesus Christ. It is a free gift. No one can work to receive that gift. God did it all for us. Now we just must walk in it. Amen?
Yes.
All right, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 in the Wiest translation says this. By grace you have been saved completely in past time, with the present result that you are in a state of salvation which persists through the present time. You are saved by God's grace. You are saved by God's grace. Grace means the favor and kindness of God. But there's a uniqueness about God's favor and kindness because they are given despite the fact that they are undeserved and unmerited. God has done a thing unheard of among men. Unheard of among men. God has given his grace to men despite their cursing him. Despite their rejecting him, despite their rebelling against him, despite their hostility toward them, toward him, despite their denial of him, despite their neglect of him, despite their half-hearted commitment to him, despite their worship of religion instead of him, despite their false worship, despite their idolatrous worship, despite their trespasses, despite their sin, God has given his grace. Grace is given, but it is given to people who do not deserve the gift. Hallelujah. We were rebels against God, enslaved by the devil. And yet God gave us the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God gave his only begotten Son so that salvation might come to man. Amen?
Amen.
God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do it. He could have wiped man off the face of the earth. Man deserved it. But God offered grace. Grace. God is also full of mercy, love, and kindness. This is God's nature. Consequently, God was compelled to shower his grace upon man. Amen? He was compelled. His nature compelled him to shower grace upon man and send his Son to save us. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay, the phrase, we are his workmanship. We are the masterpiece of God, the final addition to his glorious creation. God continues a creative work as he motivates us what he has deposited on the inside so that it's revealed on the outside. Amen? He motivates us so that what he's deposited on the inside will be revealed on the outside.
Hallelujah.
Good works, the phrase good works in that verse. Because God has done so much for us, we should be compelled to do for others. Therefore, we are ordained to walk in good works. Ordained to walk in good works.
Yes.
And doing good works is not an option for the believer.
Right.
Amen? Amen? It is the very nature of the believer. The very nature. If man has been created new in Christ, if God has truly worked in him, the man will do good works.
Right.
Amen? His very nature dictates it to him. He cannot do otherwise. Hallelujah. Of course, we're not all perfect. And we fail. Amen? But our failure drives us to our knees, asking forgiveness and rising to do that good again. Amen?
Yes.
It's a cycle that he's put us in, but it's a good cycle. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. The phrase that we should walk in them literally means we should order our lives within the sphere of good works that has destined for us to perform. I got that something wrong there. Literally, we should order our lives within the sphere of the works God has destined for us to perform. He's got works for us. We should order our life to do those works.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. Okay? Once you were called Gentiles, okay, or non-believers, by what was the circumcision, that's the Jews. It's talking about the Jews. Now, the word remember is what I want to look at in that verse. In order to realize how blessed we are, we need only to remember our former nature and unclean condition. We look back with appreciation for what God has done. He's changed us, folks. He's changed us. I've said this so many times, you probably don't want to hear it, but you wouldn't have liked me before Jesus. Probably all of us can testify to that.
Very well.
I wasn't nice. I didn't care about things. Just mine, my wife and my kids. That's the old man.
Amen.
The new man's different.
Amen.
And Jesus has done that.
Thank you.
Verse 12. That at the time, and thank you, Vivian, for doing all this. This is above and beyond. We appreciate it. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, here we are again, we're non-believers outside of Israel, God's chosen, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Okay, without Christ, being aliens and having no hope. Paul is referring to the Gentiles, that is to everyone who is not a Jew. The Gentiles did not have a personal knowledge of God and relied solely upon their worldly achievements or position. That's all they had. You probably know some people today like that. It's all they have. They have no hope. Before Jesus, there was a great gulf. Great gulf. Great distance that separated most of the world from God. Verse number 13. But now, I love those words.
Hallelujah.
But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near or nigh by the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Have been brought near or nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, y'all just so calm and quiet. Folks, this is shouting ground.
That's right, Jesus. That's right.
This ought to put a hitch in your get along. It ought to do something to you besides put you to sleep. I guarantee you that. Amen?
Amen.
The words but now are cataclysmic. Yes. Thank you, Kathy. Jesus had entered the world for the first time, a time when men were divided and separated from God and from each other. But now, we have been brought near or nigh by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Only through the blood of Christ can we be reconciled to Almighty God and to all mankind.
Yes.
Now please, folks, please let me hear a shout.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wow. Verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. He continues talking about this difference between the non-believer and the Jewish people. Amen? Jesus did something for us. He himself is our peace. Jesus not only gives peace, which is temporary, he is our peace, which is permanent. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Made both one. Christ has destroyed the barriers between people. Now, today that doesn't sound like America, but don't give up. Christ has broken down the barriers between people. In this text, it was the Jew and the Gentile. Later on in Ephesians, it's the husband and the wife. Amen? And broken down the middle wall of separation. Today, the Lord continues to destroy the barriers people build between themselves so that we might possess the unity that God considers essential. We are stronger together. We are stronger together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And people do build barriers between themselves. People do build barriers between themselves. Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. All right, enmity. Enmity is great hostility or extreme conflict. That enmity existed between the Jews and the Gentiles. You can think of other stories in the Bible where the Jews did not like the people around that were around them, other than Israelites. The law was the root cause of this hostility. It favored the Jews and it excluded the Gentiles. But Jesus fulfilled the law.
Hallelujah.
He fulfilled the law and he abolished the conflict. Amen? He abolished the conflict.
Thank you, Lord.
Right? The other phrase, create in himself. Jesus became sin that we might become righteous.
Yes.
Amen. And all of those who believe in Christ are drawn together so that they would become one in him.
Amen.
One in him.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
He's the focal point, our unity.
Yes.
Jesus. Jesus. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Access. The word depicts a formal entrance into the presence of a king or deity.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Ooh.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God.
Generosity.
Every believer has access to King Jesus.
Thank you.
Every believer has access to King Jesus. Listen to these two following scriptures. Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace and help to help in time of need.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
Thank you.
Verse 6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Amen.
What can man do to me?
Yes.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God.
Amen.
The
household of God.
Thank you, Lord.
You live in the household of God.
Thank you.
You are a member of the royal family.
Thank you, Lord.
So what are you doing standing outside ringing the bell when Jesus gave you the keys? Last part. part of Ephesians, we're going to get into the application, what you've been learning. Don't stand outside and ring the bell. You got the keys.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
Yeah, thank God.
The word foundation there, we are built on the foundation of what the apostles, the New Testament, and the prophets, Old Testament, said and taught. It is our spiritual heritage. And Jesus and his work are the cornerstone that upon which the church is built.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you for that.
Verse 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Now, I want to look at the same verse in King James Version because I like the way it's phrased a little better. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. Fitly framed together. You cannot be independent and be part of the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We are one body. We all make up the church.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Years past, I've talked about there's no lone rangers in the body of Christ. When you're building something fitly framed together, you put up one wall, you better brace that wall or it'll fall down. Mm-hmm. But when all the walls are together, you don't need to brace that anymore. It's a unit and they're strengthened in it. There's strength in the unity, folks.
Thank you.
Groweth. The term groweth. You are not fitly framed if you're not growing together. How have you grown in your spiritual life in the past year? What's different about you today? Are you growing or are you just holding your own? Are you committed to and united to your church family? Good questions, huh?
Yes.
And in verse 22, the last verse of the chapter, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The phrase built together. Satan's only hope of overthrowing our faith is creating disunity.
Yes.
Yep.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you have been in a church that split in the past. Some people never recover from those things. You'll never see two demons fighting because they are united. They're united in taking you down.
Yeah.
The Church of Jesus Christ must also be united. You cannot love Jesus without loving his body.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. You cannot love Jesus without loving his body. Listen to John 17, verse 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. Verse 21, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Jesus is the executor of God's plan of redemption and strengthening the church. Jesus put us together, folks.
Yeah.
He broke down the walls of separation.
Yes.
Instead of looking at people and saying, you know what I'm saying? We should find common ground. We should love. We should support. Hallelujah. I want you to say that with me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For Ephesians chapter 2.
For Ephesians chapter 2.
Thank you that I'm not a loner anymore.
Thank you that I'm not a loner anymore.
I'm alive with others in Christ.
I'm alive with others in Christ.
And I thank you, Jesus.
And I thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I asked Karen to lead us in victory in Jesus this morning. Let's stand together.
I heard about
Father God, we give you glory and praise that you sent Jesus to us. We didn't deserve it, but your grace came through.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for our salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you're building a mansion for us.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, that you have our life
yes, Lord.
In your hands. Yes. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you for the wonderful covenant of membership that was made today. Bless these people, Lord Jesus. Let them be so thankful that they said yes to you today. Thank you, Lord. Lord, give us a great day. And Lord God, we want Kansas City to win tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. I love y'all.